For the last 9 days, faithful Christians throughout the world have been celebrating the birth of Christ's child, God's Son, Redeemer of humanity, with great joy and festivity. But as our celebration of God's incredible descension upon the humble body of a person comes to close, we are about to celebrate another major feast of the Church on January 6th at the name of the Epiphany. The Feast of the Epiphany is not as well known and generally gets a bad reputation. What other celebration of the Church involve an astrological overtone and a new age-ish edge as to following a star to find its Redeemer? The Feast of the Epiphany is one of the oldest Christian feasts. Throughout the centuries, it has celebrated a variety of things. Epiphany comes from a Greek verb meaning to reveal, and all of the various events celebrated by the Feast of the Epiphany are the revelations of Christ to humanity. And among both Eastern Catholics and Eastern Orthodox, the feast is known by another fancy term named Theophany, which is another word that means the same thing, revelation of God to man. Epiphany originally celebrated four different events in the following order of importance. First is the baptism of Jesus. Second is Christ's first miracle, the changing of water into wine at the wedding of Cana. Third is the nativity of Christ, and along with the visitation of the wise men, commonly called the Magi. At Christ's baptism, the Holy Spirit descends and the voice of God the Father is heard, declaring that Jesus is his Son. At the wedding in Cana, the miracle reveals Christ's divinity. At the Nativity, we heard 10 days ago, angels bear witness to Christ and the shepherds bow down before him. But at the visitation of the Magi, Christ's divinity is revealed to all people. One tradition holds that the Epiphany foremost celebrates the sharing of the gospel with the Gentiles, who are represented by the Magi mentioned in this passage. This tradition teaches us the universality of Christ's saving mission by the variety of the symbolism of the Magi's gifts and even their physical characters. First, what happens in the event of Christ's birth draws people of all backgrounds. In a letter attributed to 7th century church historian named the Venerable Bede, the church's tradition affirms three different names and personalities for the wise men. First is Melchior, an old man with white hair and long beard. And second is Gaspar, a young man who's beardless and ruddy complexioned. And third is Balthazar, a black-skinned person with a heavy and thickened beard. I couldn't sleep last night, so I came over to the church in the middle of the night, hoping that a policeman wouldn't stop me to check out the Magi, and I'm happy to report, since we care so deeply about proper things in this church, that our Magi are actually congruent with the church's historical tradition. So see for yourself after the service. While this naming later is considered invalid by the contemporary scholarship, the naming and the characteristics of the Magi point us to one message: the anticipation of a diverse body of Christians of all races, a body of believers who are willing to receive a unique type of revelation in the person of Jesus Christ, even at the risk of leaving their own country to come see Christ at Jerusalem. The possibility of redemption is offered to all who are willing to follow the star of Jesus Christ. The second thing we learn from the story is that what happens through the birth of Jesus is worthy of worship, praise, and gift giving. The Magi brings three gifts. Gold is a gift worthy of a king. Frankincense is an oblation worthy of divinity. And myrrh is a spice that is commonly used in a burial rite, signifying that the death Jesus will go through will be just like any other human. The Magi's visitation and gifts are a response to the greater gift of Christ himself. Through Christ, God has given an expression of his infinite generosity in which he gives himself to us. And there is no way to match the gift that has been given to us. But rather, the gifts of the Magi are symbolic to us, implying that who are called to follow Jesus are invited to take part in God's generosity by offering ourselves to God and to others freely. The third thing we learn from the story is that what happens in the event of the Messiah's birth threatens the status quo, which provokes a temptation to destroy God's mission. King Herod, much like many in the world today, is in devastating need of power. What he sees as a political threat and a usurpation of his kingship, as they call Jesus the King of the Jews, without question, he is quickly tempted to destroy this child in order to maintain power. So much that when he fails to kill Jesus, he will go so far as to slaughter all infants in the city in order to incapacitate the mission. But could this mission be from God himself? Could Herod consider such a thing in midst of the drunkenness of his control? And are we like Herod, tempted to take a swing at God when things go unexpectedly? What God reveals to us in Epiphany is that any seeker, whether by chance or authentic pursuit, can find his or her way to the manger of Christ, God and man in the unity of one person, the Redeemer and Savior of all, in whom we find true liberation from all oppression and suffering. Everyone in the plan for salvation is invited to God's party, even those who are traveling different paths on their search to find their true home. Radical welcome of God's gentle love in the form of Jesus is revealed fully in the season of Epiphany. And I believe that the Church of St. Michael and St. George is a place that radical welcome is practiced Sunday in and Sunday out through love, through sacrifice, through offering, and through devout worship of the glorious King Jesus. But how is it practiced outside of this building, in the midst of our lives, during the week? So I invite you this morning to come to the manger of the Lord Christ like the Magi and be willing to go see all these things that have taken place and to bring others to see this revelation of God, love embodied, a world redeemed, and also be willing to be surprised by who else you may find there and what you may be asked to give up to his honor and the praise of his glory. All because of a relationship of love between the Father and his most beloved Son for the love of this world. Amen.